about to begin a new aspect of Hilchos Tzitzis, and that's the issue of the Zman HaMitzvah. When exactly is one supposed to be fulfilling Mitzvah Tzitzis? So everything that we're going to talk about revolves around the two words of Arisa Moso. The Gemara has a drasha that Arisa Moso is Prat Lalayla. So the question is, first of all, does everybody even accept that drasha? So the Gemara is very clear that no, that many of the Torahim don't even buy into that drasha. It's actually Rabbi Shimon in the Braisa who quotes that drasha. And the Gemara says, we pass it Rabbi Shimon. Halacha, this one we follow Rabbi Shimon, that Arisa Moso does in fact exempt the person from the Mitzvah Tzitzis at a time of Laila. Again, we have to define precisely what Laila means. Just parenthetically, when the Gemara has a whole discussion in Maseches Benachos as to whether Arisa Moso comes to exclude a Laila, or whether Arisa Moso means something else according to the other Tanaim, it's interesting that nowhere does the Gemara say that Arisa Moso means that you have to wait, it's in a way that you have to see them. The Gemara is not even Elo Adas in the whole Sugya that you have to have the tzitzis that are visible to you. Some Tanaim learn Arisa Moso as Prat Laila, but other Tanaim have a different drush, but nobody says the Pasuk Pshuto that you have to mama see a tzitzis. That's where Moshe's tying against the Mishnah Berurah was. But the Mishnah Berurah has a very famous comment, and the Mishnah Berurah says that you have to be careful to weigh your tzitzis in such a way that you can see that when you tuck your tzitzis in. So the Mishnah Berurah tries out of Kayim, it's a violation of Arisa Moso, so you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly, you're losing out that dimension of Arisa Moso. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, not only is it not a fulfillment of Arisa Moso, he thinks it constitutes a bizoyon to the tzitzis, that here you're almost trying to hide the mitzvah, instead of being proud of the mitzvah, you're sticking it in that nobody should see. So the Mishnah Berurah's two tainas that you have to weigh tzitzis out. So Moshe writes in the Shuvah, he doesn't understand either of the two tainas. He doesn't understand why is that a bizoyon of tzitzis. He says, if you're wearing, you beg it out, and you're trying at all costs to avoid anyone seeing your tzitzis, that's not a bizayon. But if your tzitzis is under your shirt, like most of us wear tzitzis under our shirts, so if the tzitzis are under my shirt, so the strings are under my shirt, I'm not hiding the strings, that's just the way you get dressed. I don't take my undershirt and stick half my undershirt out, so why should I take the strings that are under my shirt and bring them above my shirt, like Mechad Daisy? And then the Rabbi Shadayim is that when the Mishnah Berurah says that it's based on a Risa Moso, he says, Lohan Udvar Me'adam, says there's no such Gemara. The Gemara, if anything, talks about other Dinim that are learned from Risa Moso. The Gemara never mentions there's a mitzvah der Isis, and see it's one of the Mishnah Berurah, the Smach counts a Risa Moso as one of the tag mitzvahs, but the Mishnah Rambam says, the regular Mishnah Berurah don't count it. The other Mishnah Berurah don't count as one of the tag mitzvahs. So Mechad Daisy is such a Dim. So our whole point of Mishnah Berurah is very, very takif, very, very strong about the idea of wearing a tzitzis that they should be exposed. And Rabbi Shimon writes, he doesn't see why there should be any tzorech whatsoever. Rabbi Yosef writes in a Shuvah that a pi kabbalah, you're not allowed to have your tzitzis out, you have to have your tzitzis inside. So he writes that Sfarim have to follow this. Ashkenazim generally are not don't follow all the things in the Kabbalah as much as the Sfarim do. So Rabbi writes that Ashkenazim, if an Ashkenazi boy wants to wear a tzitzis out, so yeish shami lismach, maybe can we make it against desire. But if a Sfardi wants to, b'shum parvo, if you're not allowed, Rabbi writes that a Sfardi has to follow what it says in the Sifrei Kabbalah, and even though Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it, that you're not allowed to wear your tzitzis out. Anyway, you have the kutz la kutzim, different gedolei elam, as to what the practice should be. Should the tzitzis daf could be out, should daf could be in, should be whatever you want. So again, yeish shami lismach in the direction. But it all revolves around whether there is such a din of Arisa Moso or not. But Lamai said the Gemara does say that Arisa Moso is prat l'lai elam. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara doesn't exactly use that phrase "prat l'lai." The Gemara uses the phrase "prat l'ksus l'lai," which is a very telling statement according to some Rishonim. So the Rosh, Tosfos, before the Rosh, a whole group of Rishonim are of the opinion that if the Gemara uses the phrase "l'ksus l'lai," the Gemara means "k'shuta k'mashmal," that there is no p'tur of tzitzis b'lai. That's not the p'tur. The p'tur is that if you happen to have a beged that's k'sus l'lai, you have a beged that's normally worn at night. So such a beged is not chayiv tzitzis. The same way there are other begadim, there are other halachas that govern the begadim. So a beged has to be made out of material X, Y, and Z. We spoke about it. There is the abundant, has to be a four-corner garment, has to belong to you. There are a lot of dinim that revolve around the beged itself. So according to the Rush, the din of Lila revolves around the beged also. So if you have a four-corner pair of pajamas, then you don't have to wear tzitzis on it, even if you're wearing a bayon. Whereas if you have a four-cornered garment that you usually wear by yom, and now you happen to be wearing it at night, so then you are mechuyav in a third with tzitzis on it. So there's not a din that lailos potur tzitzis. The din is that aksus lailos potur tzitzis. It's a din in the cheftz. It's not a din in the zman. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, even though the Gemara does use the phrase aksus lailos, the Gemara used the phrase aksus lailos because people usually wear aksus lailos by lailos. But if you're wearing aksus lailos by yom, so then you chayav to put tzitzis on it. If you're wearing tzitzis yom balayla, then you put the tzitzis on it. That the mitzvah tzitzis is a mitzvah that only applies to the 12 hours of joy. Only the daylight hours doesn't apply at night. So mechug is the mamad of Rosh. So what is the nature of the din of laila being part of? We follow Rabbi Shimon. We pass the Rabbi Shimon's drasha. Arisa Moso pratlo something. So according to the Rosh, it's a function of the cheftz of the baged. according to the Rambam, it's a question of the time and the clock. Is it light outside? Is it dark outside? So how do we pass in halacha? So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in that this is not resolved. We're not sure what the answer is, and therefore we play it safe in all ends. Namely, we would never exempt you from tzitzis unless you're wearing something which is a ksus laila bat laila. If you have either one of these two factors, we would tell you misafik, something that rises, you have to put tzitzis on. On the other hand, we would never make a bracha on tzitzis until it's a ksus yom bayom, because in deference to either one of those rishonim, we're not comfortable reciting a bracha until it's both ksus yom as well as bayom. So it's based on this psach that we hold that you're not really supposed to make a bracha on tzitzis or talis until it's mamish ksus yom bayom, that Magen Avraham already raises the issue. All the posts can pick up on this and say you have to be very, very careful when it comes to Yom Kippur. So we very rarely ever put on a talis late in the day. But the only time that we actually do it is Erev Yom Kippur. So a person sometimes comes to shul late Erev, you get stuck, whatever. He runs into shul, it's already after dark, it's ready after Shkia. So now the question becomes, do you have a right to put a talis on the bracha at that point? So if it's already suffering yom, suffering laila, so maybe you shouldn't put a talis on the bracha at that point. So you have to try to be careful to be misatif in your talis before shkia. If you come to shul on time before kol nidre, the shuls are supposed to schedule kol nidre before shkia, because there's machlek is the gaonim and rabbeinu tam what the goal of kol nidre is. The gaonim's opinion was the kol nidre is ataras the darim from the darim of last year, and rabbeinu tam says no, that kol nidre is a modah for the darim of the future year. So according to the Gaonim, that it's a Hatar Shadar for the previous year, you're not supposed to be Master Neder and Shabbos and Yom Tov, unless it's a Tzor Chayom. So we would try to get Konditri in from beforehand. So and we really pass the Kavir Tam. We don't really follow the Gaonim. That's why in the Nusra of our Konditri, most of us say, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Haba. Some add on the phrase, Yom Kippurim Sha'ava, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Zad, the Archway thing has in parentheses. So those who add on, Yom Kippurim Sha'ava, Yom Kippurim Zad, Yad, Yom Kippurim Haba, it doesn't fit the tune, but those who add that phrase in, so they're Chayshish for the Gaonim. So the Shabur writes that even though we don't really follow the Gaonim, we try to chapan kodid before shkia. Nobody, no shul, responsible shul starts kodidri after shkia. A lot of shuls do, but no responsible shul does. So the responsible shul is supposed to schedule kodidri enough time. You should say kodidri before shkia. So if everyone comes on time, they're ready to put the talis on and shine. But there are always latecomers. So the latecomers come every Yom Kippur. They come, it's ready after dark. So they should not make a bracha on their talis. Unless maybe one can argue, maybe you can defend making a bracha even during Ben Hashemashah, because it's a shtimul sfeik sfeika. Because maybe the Rambam is right, and maybe the Rosh is right. According to the Rosh, you can make a bracha on a talis at 2 o'clock in the morning, because it's basically miyuchel yom, so it's a ksus yom balayla. So according to the Rosh, you can make a bracha anyway. And even if the Rambam is right, you can make a bracha at night, maybe it's only Ben Hashemashah, and maybe Ben Hashemashah is not considered to be laila, maybe it's considered to be yom. So maybe we can still salvage reciting a bracha based on a sfeik sfeika. So that's a very, very shaky sfeik sfeika. Those who learned Masechet Bava Kamma and Daf Yud Aleph, the Sugya of Shilya. So that Ben Hashemashah is always very, very tricky whether you want to throw that into a sfeik sfeika, because it's sfeik sfeika that can create a tie to the sasrei. Again, leaving out all the lumdus of sfeik sfeika right now, so that's not always the best nakuda to put into a sfeik sfeika. But some achronim write that way. Some achronim write that if you come to shul late every Yom Kippur night, Ishkafelach to Ben Hashemashah, you can still make a bracha based on sfeik sfeika. So the Magen Avraham doesn't seem to say that. The Magen Avraham seems to say that you can make a bracha Ben Hashemashah for a totally different reason. The Magen Avraham has a tremendous chiddush. He says that according to the Rambam, that tzitzis only applies by day and doesn't apply by night. How do you define day and night for these purposes? How do you define day and night? Say we define day and night called Tar Kula, right? So if it's after Shkia, it's ready, Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So the Mother of Rome says no. That if the Torah would have said, V'davashem Hashlema, Tubashu Tzitzis Bayom, so then the guidelines, parameters of Yom would have been the regular rules of Yom. Till Shkia is Yom Vada, you have to Shkia to taste the Safik Yom. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, Arisim Oso. So the Mother of Rome says that Arisim Oso means the Mitzvah Tzitzis Bizman Re'iyah. And whenever you can't see, so then there's no tzitzis. But whenever you can see, there is tzitzis. What's the difference? When Avram says, a few minutes after Shkia, you can still see. Well, maybe you can still see after Shkia. You go outside today, 5 minutes after Shkia, 10 minutes after 50 minutes, you can still see. So if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's pitch black out, you can't see anymore. But if it's a little bit, a few minutes after sunset, you can still see. How long could you still see after Shkia? So what's the rule? What's the fairship staff of the motor vehicles? So what's the rule? Till when, appeal legally, when do you have to put your lights on at night? You know?
6 p.m.
That's the rule? No, what if it's the middle of June? So half hour after sunset, right? I think that you'd be a fool for driving after Shkia with you without your lights and no one can see you. But technically, you can really still see. So I think legally, when I took my driving test, many Google ago, so I think that was the rule. That for the first half hour after sunset, they can't pull you over. Because why? What's the pshat? The pshat is that still Zman Riyah. Because even though it's technically Lila, it's a Safi Lila, but it still is not a Riyah. And the issue of driving without your lights is Neve, and not from the shame Lila, it's the Ve'er from the guilty Riyah. It's a good Raya for those who follow the Grossman in New York, it's about half after Shkia. Anyway, let's say Yucham, but that's what it's based on. So the Magen Avraham, the Pasha says the same thing. The Magen Avraham says that you could be Yotzi Tzitzit B'Teres Vadai, even according to the Rambam, after Shkia, because it's a function of Riyah, it's not a function of Yom Vilayim, it's a Chiddush trouble. So some Achronim are not so sure that's true. Some Achronim are very weary about that. So the Achronim recommend maybe you shouldn't follow this Magen Avraham, but it's a fascinating Magen Avraham. The Chassam Sofer comments on this Magen Avraham. He says that on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Chassam Sofer has horrors on the Magen Avraham. He says that if the Magen Avraham is right, that whenever it's a Zman Riyah, even though it's not really Yom anymore, Bevadi, still Chayav, there's Bevadi and Tzitzis, so then this should be equivalent of a comment that the Sma makes in the beginning of Cheshen Mishpat. The Sma writes that we know you're not allowed to have a Din Torah at night. Why? Because the Din is you have to have Riyah, you have to be able to see. So the Sma writes that it's not really a Din that you have to have a Din Torah by Yoyim, it's not Yoyim and Laila Pamoch, it's Riyah versus Dan Riyah. So the Sma writes, what if there's light in the room? What if you put candles in the room? So he says, maybe it should be okay. Maybe the Bezin can function at night as long as they can see. So the Chassam Sofer says, Obazoi, if the Magen Avraham is right, that whenever it's a function of Riyah, it doesn't depend on Yom Balayla, so it's Mamish the equivalent of the Sma writes, the Cheshvish would be a new din, that if you have candles in your room, you can make a brach on your tzitzis at 2 o'clock in the morning. According to this Magen Avraham, this man knows everything, electric light, so it's pitch black outside, but it's light as day in the middle of the Bismedrish, so you can get up and put a talis on with a brach at 2 o'clock in the morning, and Lishum Sofik, according to this Chassam Sofer, that's the Magen Avraham. Not anybody really follows this, but that's Chassam Sofer is ha'ara. If the Magen Avraham is right, that's what should follow.
Would it make sense to be mechalik between like natural visibility versus artificial?
No, but the Sma himself says that candles are good.
I'm saying the Magen Avraham himself. For the Magen Avraham himself.
You mean the Magen Avraham is not meshuvah to that Sma?
Right.
Okay, no. Chassam Sofer just connects the dots. He says that if the Magen Avraham is right and the Sma is right, if you put together this Magen Avraham and that Sma, so it comes out at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can make a bracha to this. Anyway, get back to the story. So the only time this ever really comes up is on Yom Kippur. Who else is putting on tzitzit all the night? So usually the only time this ever comes up is on Yom Kippur. I used to have an issue when I was the Rav Barabbas. That's probably before you. I don't think you remember this. How old were you when you left for Amazon? You're a baby, right?
Yeah, I was very young.
Yeah, you would never remember this part. Okay. So, I was rubbing Paramus, so I had a dilemma. The first couple of Yom Kippur, that was my dilemma. That they had a practice in Paramus, and they followed many of the Minhagim of the Yekesha communities. And one of the Minhagim that they had was in the Yom Neroim. The Yekesh do it all year long, but they only did this Yom Neroim. That the rabbi makes the official bracha on Kolatifas Talos. So let's say Rosh Hashanah morning and Yom Kippur morning. And everyone comes to shul, so the rabbi gets up and makes kol rum, Sati Vatzitzi, puts a tzitz on everyone else. Either makes the bracha, doesn't make the bracha, whatever it is, Yotzi, whatever it is. So there's an official part of the ceremony. It says on the Zman HaTfilas, it says, Atifas Talos, 6 o'clock, Kol Nivri, 6:05, whatever. That's like an official part of the protocol of the tefillah. So in the morning, it's just we've got to get to shul on time. Okay, fine. So that's embarrassing. We come late. Everyone's sitting around by Ashrei, half the talis on. That's a problem. But on Yom Kippur night, they would want me to do that also. So why was that a problem? Because when I first came to Paramus, let's say, for example, Shkia was 6:30. So they had spotted Kol Nidre 2 minutes before Shkia. It only took the Yakis 2 minutes to say Kol Nidre. So they started Kol Nidre right before Shkia. So they had scheduled on the calendar, it said something, Shkia 6:30, Kol Nidre 6:28 or something, Atifas Talos, or 6:27, whatever. A minute before Kol Nidre would be Atifas Talos. So I didn't want to put on my talis so late. Why do I want to put on my talis so late? Because I want to be Makabal Yontif early, because there's a din of Tosefes Shabbos and Yontif, and Tosefes Yom Kippur B'chol Deis is Dera Isa. And according to many poskim, you need a formal Kabbalah B'peh. So I didn't want to wait till 30 seconds before to be Makabal. There's a whole Shalom Rishonim, how much the Shiur is. I wanted more than just a half a minute of most. You know, I wanted to be Makabal Yom Kippur, like 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it was before Shkia. The problem is that Kolzman, I wasn't the rabbi of Paramus. So what I used to do is I would come to shul 20 minutes before Shkia, I put my talis on, and the Tefillah Seichel Zakum, Kabbalah Yontif, and Shoyin. But now they're forcing me to in effect be Mekabel Yom Kippur before my Dallas on you. I don't want to Mekabel Yom Kippur 6:29 and a half and 2 seconds ago. I want to Mekabel Yom Kippur 6:15. But the problem is I can't put my Dallas on till latest. And now the Shaila is, once you Mekabel Kedushas Hayom, so you're basically making it like Laila. Once you're making it like Laila, is a Shaila whether you can make a bracha anymore in your Dallas. So I was mamshin checkmate. Then I want to be Mekabel Yom Tov early, but Mekabel Yom Tov early, so then I can no longer make a bracha on my Dallas according to some person. That's a big shaila, whether that's even true, whether Mekabel Kedush Sayom actually impacts on the bracha of Dallas. That's a big, big shaila also. So he's braver, so I forced, I maneuvered a little bit, I forced him to move Kalidra back a couple of minutes, or at least move Tikvah's Dallas back a few minutes. So that way, so I think what I did was, I said like the whole Tefillah Zach without my Dallas on, and then I stopped by the point of Harei Mekabel Kedush Sayom. And I did the Atibas Talos, and then 5-10 minutes to go to spare, so I threw in the Kiddush Zayom. So I have Shulakai Mishneh. I'm not the rabbi, perhaps I'm going to do whatever I want. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What do you mean, Racha
Orkai?
Couldn't you say that you're saying
the
Racha for them?
Yeah, I mean, might see them in the yeah, but it's a very Laila for me. It's a Lomdash Hashayla. If I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, can I make a bracha for you when you're your Talos? It's a Lomdash, it's too Lomdash for me. Every Yom Kippur is too much Lomdash. Well, Kabbal Kikash, I never thought of that. All those years, I never thought of that.
Would it be related to the Magen Avraham?
I mean, according to the Magen Avraham, the Chayrit should be perfectly okay, because according to the Magen Avraham, I don't even care if it's Mamash Suffolk Laila. The Lochbad, Tosef Shabbos is not going to be worse than after Shvia. But I'm saying those posts from not everyone born to this Magen Avraham. Then Yachin Mishnevur, because other Chayrit disagree with the Magen Avraham. So then my shadow would still be a shadow because I'm not so sure the Kabbalah's Yom Tif impacts on Yom Valayl of Kol Torah Kula. That's really another shadow. That's the shadow of women doing Hefzik Tarez if the benching left, and not in Mimchef, if the Kabbalah, a lot of shadows that depend on that. Anyway, getting back to this, so the bottom line is that under normal circumstances, you should get your tzitzit and talis on by Yom, make the bracha by Yom, and show you. Because there's a din of Laila or Ksus Laila being Potter, this opened up a whole very, very long shadow that we shouldn't have about what's the status of tzitzis on blankets. So we think about it, a blanket is a classic dollar compass. It's got four corners to it. So how in the world can you sleep in a blanket if you don't have tzitzis on it? So the Rishon really talk about this. Some Rishon say, well, it's Ksus Laila. Most of the time, blankets are miyuch lekach for the nighttime blankets. Even though once in a while you sleep a little bit into the day also, you take a little nap or something, but blankets are basically ksus laila. So ksus laila is not chayav tzitzis according to the Rosh. But the problem is the Rambam says it is. But the Rambam agrees that if it's baal laila, then it's potter. So the Inuch Hinami said, Rishonim write that if you go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night and you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so then you're good to go. Bein la Ram, bein la Rosh, because it's a ksus laila balayla. The problem is most of us are not up, except during Slichas days, most of us are sleep well into the daytime. We get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, get up on Shabbos, 9 o'clock in the morning, get up on Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever time you guys get up. So, not you guys, so I tell you. So guys are sleeping well into the daytime. So according to after Shabbos, according to the Rosh, it's a bit of it's for their Isa. You have to have tzitzit on your blankets. So the post can quote a machlekes in Taizen de Mordechai about, is a blanket a type of a bag of the tzimah chayim tzitzis altogether? What's the shayla? So by kelayim b'shatnes, the topic is a din. You're not allowed to have a blanket that shatnes. So the Mordechai writes, that's true by shatnes, because by shatnes it says, lo yale alecha. So even if it's just derech aliyah, it's considered to be an issue of shatnes. But when it comes to tzitzis, the Torah says, a shetachasaba. Shetachasaba has the connotation, I'm wearing it around me, it's on my body, it's surrounding my whole body. Just, I'm laying in bed, there's something on top of me. Unless you get nice and cozy, you know, tucked around the blanket, wrapped all around you. But if you just throw a blanket on top of you, so then that wouldn't really be chayiv and tzitzis altogether. And there's a Taisa of Menachos that many posts can claim disagree with that Mordechai. It's unclear. The Chashulim claims Taisa doesn't really disagree, and most of the later, many posts can help does disagree. So the Magen Avraham throws his hand up and says, so what's your attitude be now? We have a very, very potential Shabbat, a serious Shabbat deraisa of a guy's going to sleep, and he's sleeping into the morning hours. So according to the Rambam, he has a big problem. He's chayav tzitzis b'deraisa on the blankets. So the Magen Avraham writes that maybe it's better to you should have a round off the corner, one of the corners of your blankets. Because if you don't round off the corner, then you have a very, very serious shayla. So that's a big question, whether we follow the Magen Avraham. Should we cross that Magen Avraham out, right? And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that most people don't do that. When they rely on the Aruch HaShulchan writes that we all the Mordechai is right. That Mikra Din, then the Aruch HaShulchan claims that it's also like the Mordechai. There's no chiyuv tzitzis b'chlal on something that's just alecha. Unless it's derech kisui, unless it's surrounding your body, it's not chiyuv tzitzis altogether. The fact that just it's on top of your body, shatnez, that would be a problem. Tzitzis wouldn't be a problem. So you don't even need the Rambam and the Rosh to solve the problem. So I think most people know. Who here has rounded off blankets?
Yeah.
wear strings of tzitzis on their blankets. Most people don't. So I'll tell you a message that the Rav David Lifshitz, I heard Rav David Lifshitz, his picture was right by the elevator in Telesley, right? So when you would walk into the third floor, his picture was there. Now it's, they removed it. So, how many karma she was making to the wall now. So Rav David Lifshitz was the Rav here, the Shiva here for 50 years. So once the Rav David only spoke Yiddish, and after no one in the Shiva understood Yiddish, he might switch to Ivrit. He wouldn't talk to in English. So he knew English, he knew how to speak English, but he would only speak either Lashon HaKodesh or in Yiddish. So somebody once asked him, they said, they said to Rav David, he said, you know, Olam Noagim Lakel, you know, not to round off the corners. The Mishagur says, you have to, the Elam's being made, what's Pshat? So Rav David looked at the person like he just landed on the moon. Rav David said, I don't even hear the Kilim. So he said, yeah, people are making. So Rav David asked him, hey, Mim Tatiyin, are they religious? He couldn't understand that a religious person doesn't have rounded off corners. It was like, well, all our das. I guess we came from in Suvab, that was the minute everybody rounded off the corners of the blankets. In America, nobody rounds off the corners of the blankets. No, I know it does. So the it's off like the Erech HaShulchan. The minute guy was like the Erech HaShulchan this one, but the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, say you have to round off. If it's a woolen blanket, if it's not a woolen blanket, then the Mishnah Berurah says, maybe it's a Derabban anyway, it may be make. But if it's a woolen blanket, you have to round it off.
What if you are someone who wraps the blanket?
Oh, the problem is the people who wrap their blankets all around them. So this was a shalat. Somebody asked me on you know, you get the blankets on the plane. So those little blankets people like to, you know, wrap themselves around totally in. So the plane blankets are not so bad because it's a talish uva, because it doesn't belong to you. So it's not such a problem.
So they're not four corners, I don't think.
What?
I don't think they're four corners anyway. So they're rounded at the top.
They're round at the top.
Yeah, I think they're...
Oh, I guess Elam must be machfit to. But somebody has sometimes they have other things. They have blankets that people mamash wear. The mamash they put them around, literally around you. So that's a problem. Now that will depend. If you're doing it at night, you know, so that would be okay. But if you're sleeping with that into the day, you think you can have that. That would be a real problem. So those kinds of blankets probably not such a bad idea to have them around off. Okay, good. Okay, good. Back test. Yeah.
What about towels?
Towels, that was a good question. So towels, the question is that called derech levi?
What about when people wrap it around?
Yeah, they wrap it around them, throw it over their shoulders, yeah. So I think it's, I'm not saying it's an absolute psak, but it could be that it's better to wear a towel in such a way that all the four corners are in front of you. The Rambam writes that a beged, which is totally in front of you, is not chayav in tzitzis, because the Gemara speaks about two corners in front, two corners in back. It's a big chiddush of the Rambam, that's even true. The Gemara says that you should have two corners in front, two corners in back, and you're surrounded by mitzvahs all the time. So that sounds like a nice drush. It sounds like, you know, a musavar. So the Rambam says, no, it means apidin, that if you don't have two in front, two in back, so then the whole tzitzis doesn't, there's no mitzvah tzitzis altogether. It's a big, no one knows exactly where that comes from. So, but the Rambam says it. So if you wear a towel in such a way that you keep all four of the corners in front of you, so that would be less of a problem. If you wear that two in front, two in back, that would be more of a problem. I don't know, not sure. Anyway, getting back to that story. So the din is that tzitzis doesn't apply at night. Again, when the night means ksus on night means lila mamish, but he's ramen derosh. But the Gemara says, in Maseches Menachos, it's based on this idea that a ritzma says pat lila, therefore tzitzis is a bit sesesh as ban kurama. And therefore, women are pterus. If you don't buy into this, if you think like the Chamdur Vishimon, that tzitzis istaka applies to Lila, it applies to Ksus Lila, it applies 24/7, so then you're not going to have women are chayav to tzitzis. So the Gemara says that one Amor, Rabbi Yehuda held that way. Rabbi Yehuda held that we don't pass the Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda used to make tzitzis for his wife's clothing. She wanted. She wasn't progressive, wasn't anything like that. He held the halacha that we don't follow Rabbi Shimon, but the halacha we don't follow that. We follow the view of Rabbi Shimon, and therefore the halacha and Shulchan Aruch, it's unequivocal that women are pterus with tzitzis. It's a little bit questionable because why exactly is that called Zman Grama? Bishlam, according to the Rambam, I understand why it's called Zman Grama, because it's Zman Grama. It means you don't wear tzitzis balayla, so that's called classic Zman Grama. But according to the Rush, you can wear tzitzis balayla. You want to wear tzitzis balayla. It's just that a beged shalaylas plotter. So why exactly is that called Zman Grama? So Taisus has the cash, and Taisus pushes a little bit and sticks into the words and says, that's also shtilo Zman Grama. It's also nichol Zman Grama. Since the beged is a function of the Zman, that it's the only one, and that kind of a beged is potter from tzitzis, that's also nichol nixer skos Zman Grama. So that's a huge chiddush. But Taisa says, lays braver. The Rush knew the Gemara that says, women of pteros. And the Rush hat gesagt that it's a function of ksus yom, ksus la, not a function of zman. So kochi, you see a chidish golu within the klal of zman grow. But I call upon him the ma'aseh the gemara say beferish that women have to have some titzit because of zman grow. So I'm extending kind of zman grow. So from this we have to continue the next year to try to understand that statement of zman grow, what exactly that means. And what are the parameters of the fact that women are patur from tzitzis, and what would that mean if a woman wants to volunteer to put on tzitzis? So we get a lot of juicy, controversial, I mean, they're not really controversial, they're pretty dvarim pshutim. People have made them controversial, they're dvarim pshutim. So hopefully that's what we'll talk about in the next year. The controversial part is going to be, when is the next year going to be? That's the real question. So for this we can turn off the recorder to decide when the next year is going to be. So next Wednesday,